few people is wired into not only UNC, but the ACC as well. He works for the legendary publication that covers the Greater Triangle area. Follow online. It's newsobserver.com. On Twitter, the handle is @_AndrewCarter. Andrew, thanks so much for your time. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you guys for having me.
This might sound like an odd place to start, but I'm always curious as to the local angle versus the national perception. When it comes to rivalry, you mentioned college basketball, and Duke and North Carolina are going to be on the tip of everybody's tongue. But I've got family in Wake Forest and friends who've gone to both schools. While Tar Heels Duke gets a lot of attention, how fierce is the rivalry between North Carolina and North Carolina State?
Oh, it's very fierce. You know, I think it's even more of a rivalry built on animosity and hatred, those kind of things, more of a visceral, emotional quality to it. I think the Duke-UNC basketball rivalry is certainly intense, but it's almost more built on mutual respect and kind of admiration for both programs. And, you know, the rivalry between NC State and UNC, I think there's more deep-seated emotional animosity between both of those teams, schools. And you have to remember, too, that was really the original basketball rivalry in the state. I think it predates UNC Duke. The NC State rivalry with UNC, goes way back, the 40s and 50s and 60s, and people forget how good that program was for decades and decades and decades. And, you can argue that it's even, maybe not quite as intense on the court because it hasn't been much of a rivalry in recent years, but among the fans, among the people in this state, it does not get lost at all, especially because of the alumni. I
mean, right.
Duke alums, a lot of them kind of go to Washington, D.C. to work, or New York City. They don't really stick around here. And there's a whole lot more NC State people than there are Duke people. So I think that adds a different quality to it as well.
Hey, still before we get to this year's team, Oregon knows a thing or two about maneuvering around the world of infractions. The Tar Heels, of course, trying to do that with the whole African American studies classes issue. The original notice of allegation sent in 2015. Since then, Carolina's been to two Final Fours, when it's conceivable to think they might not have been eligible for either if the NCAA had acted as quickly as it usually does. I mean, usually postseason ban is the baseline for this stuff. Do you have any updates on the status of all of that? And I guess what have the school and Coach Williams been saying about it?
Well, it's pretty complicated, and Roy hasn't said much of anything about it because you have to remember he was asked about this stuff ad nauseum.
Yeah.
Kind of timely.
2 years ago.
A couple of years ago when they got the first notice. I mean, there's been three notices of allegations in this case. And to your point about how they might not have been eligible, either of these would have been eligible last because the calendar would not have worked for the NCAA to rule on this thing,
sure,
even if it went the normal protocol. So they definitely would have been eligible last year no matter what.
It's amazing. I've been doing this 20 years, and I probably played a million Carolina highlights for many years, obviously, with the longtime voice Woody Durham, who dates back to the days I'm old enough to remember Bob McAdoo and Bobby Jones. He stepped down in 2011. You wrote a story about him, a health battle he's facing. I'm sure most people don't know, but how is he doing and what's he up against?
Well, he's basically slowly losing his ability to speak. He has a neurocognitive disorder called primary progressive aphasia. And it's kind of I don't want to say rare, it's not that rare, really, but it's kind of in the Alzheimer's disease family. It's kind of the dementia family related to that. He's up against it. There's really no cure for this. It's just a matter of how quickly it progresses. And I spent about 9 months on that story that you referenced. His family allowed me and a photographer here incredible access to kind of to tell his story and detail his fight with this. And, they were very gracious, and I was very humbled to have that opportunity. But, people out there in Oregon might not know much about Woody Durham, but here in North Carolina, he's kind of like the Vince Scully.
Yep.
Of North Carolina, just a very well-respected guy. He was a voice of the Tar Heels for 40 years. And you can imagine the heartbreak of making your living speaking and talking for 40 years, chronicling UNC athletics, and then, slowly you're losing your ability to speak. So it's an ironic story. It's a heartbreaking story. And it's one I think that he wanted fair just because he wanted to raise awareness about this.
Sophomore Luke May has kind of been one of those guys in this tournament. There always seems to be a few of them, players who don't do anything really during the regular season but step up huge in March. Game winners against Kentucky definitely fall into that category. Missed some time in November with an ankle issue, came back, had three double-digit scoring games all season. He has 3 and 4 in the tournament. Is it as unlikely as it seems to the outside world, his success in the tournament, or is it something he's kind of been poised for?
No, it's very unlikely.
Yeah.
No one was expecting this. I think, you know, maybe he was prepared for it, poised for it, as he said, but no one would have expected Luke May to play a starring role in any way, shape, or form in the NCAA tournament. And that's not to knock him. That's not to take anything away from his abilities and his talents. But he was just not asked to do anything of the sort in the regular season. He was a guy that Roy would put in there to rebound, to hustle, knock down the very occasional shot, but not a player at all, you know, counted on for his offense. You know, in fact, it was a little bit surprising that he played so well against Kentucky the first time. Those teams played each other back in December in Las Vegas in the CBS Sports Classic, and Luke May went in there and he made, I think he made 3 3-pointers that game. He at least had 2 in the second half. And seeing that was a surprise, just what he did that day. But little by little, he's had these, you know, moments during the regular season where you thought, you know, I think he's going to be a pretty solid player eventually. But you never expected it to come so quickly and on that kind of stage in the NCAA tournament. For him to play the way he did against Butler and then follow up, you know, again with what he did against Kentucky, he set his career high in points in back-to-back games, the past two games. So, you know, just one of those crazy kind of March NCAA tournament stories that kind of seem to happen in this tournament year after year. And you can certainly add Luke May's name to that list.
Final thought for Andrew Carter of the News and Observer. We've talked about this Carolina team because they're very familiar. All that experience from last year. The big-time freshman, though, probably a lot of people not familiar with Tony Bradley, who was the Gatorade Player of the Year, Mr. Basketball in Florida, be it his size or his skill set. How big of a contributor has he been off of Coach Williams' bench this year?
He's been a pretty solid, reliable contributor. He played a bigger role, I think, earlier in the year. And then I kind of think he, you know, maybe hit like the freshman wall kind of thing midway through it, but he's kind of had a nice little renaissance here of late. Past couple weeks, he's played a major factor in UNC's success. He's played really well off the bench in some spot minutes. Doesn't play an overwhelming amount of minutes, like he's not on the court all the time, but certainly you know, a great option off the bench in the post for these guys. You have to remember, too, that UNC employs a very, you know, kind of old-school inside-out approach. They really base their offense by going and the post first, and
yep,
then kick it back outside. And Bradley is a prototypical post player in Roy's system. And he's had some very, very nice moments. He was playing so well early on back in November, December, that I think we were worried that he might leave. I'm not quite sure he had that season the rest of the year. But he's going to be a guy that they think is going to be a star in years to come.
Hey, Andrew, real quick, Joel Berry dealing with 2 ankle injuries. I know Coach Williams talked about it today. What did he say? Do you have an update on his status for against Oregon?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to play. I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to play. I think the question is going to be how effective he's going to be, how much pain he's going to be in. He's not going to do much this week, which isn't a surprise. He's not been practicing. He didn't practice today. The team is actually flying out, you know, basically right now. They're headed to the airport pretty much now. And they're getting out there a day earlier than they would ordinarily. And part of the reason behind that is that they're worried about Joel's ankle swelling up, you know, sitting in a plane and flying out there for 4 hours. That was a concern, so they're getting out there a day earlier.
Wow.
Hopes of alleviating some of that swelling and helping him recover just from the travel. You know, but he's getting a lot of treatment, a lot of rest, and then the hope is that he feels pretty good later in the week. I don't think he's going to be 100%. I don't think you're going to eliminate the pain that he's going to be dealing with, but I don't have any doubt that he'll be out there on Saturday.
All right, great info. You can follow his excellent coverage of Tar Heel Sports and more, newsobserver.com on Twitter. Use the handle @_AndrewCarter. I know you got a bunch going on. Really appreciate you taking some time to talk Carolina hoops with us. You travel safe. Enjoy the Final Four, and thanks a million, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
Anytime, guys. Sorry about the phone problem.
Nope.
No sweat.
No sweat, man. Have a good one. Thank you.